Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another show from Natural Horse Network. This is DC, your host. Today, I'm welcoming back Tim Link from WaggingTales.com. Tim is an interspecies communicator, and we will be talking with a few pet owners today. I also have pictures up on my radio page, and I posted links in the chat room. Let me know if those don't work, so you can go to the page and see the pictures of the pets we'll be discussing today. So welcome, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be back again.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been excellent, excellent. Busy as ever, talking to so many wonderful kittens and puppies and horses and you name it. So it's been a lot of fun.
Great. Well, I guess we could go ahead and take callers. So if anybody's here, you can go ahead and call in. I know we have a new feature here called Click to Talk, so a couple people are going to try that because it saves them on long distance.
Oh, nice.
But in the meantime, what's been up with you? What's interesting?
Well, there's a lot of good things going on. If you'll take a look at my website, which is www.wagging-tales.com, that'll give you an update on everything that's going on. So there's been a lot of wonderful radio appearances and television appearances, as well as we're putting together the final touches on our workshop. So we're going to be putting an animal communication workshop together. It's going to be in the northern Atlanta, Georgia area on July 12th and 13th. And the sessions basically will give you an idea of what animal communication is all about, work on some of the methods and modalities and the techniques that I use on a daily basis, and see if we can uncover anybody out there that has any gifts. So the workshop's going to be great. It's going to be an opportunity to find out if you have this particular gift. And if you don't, then at least you'll learn more about how to build a better relationship with your pet and a better understanding of what your pet's trying to tell you. So,
wow,
if you're in the,
that sounds exciting.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun time. So I invite everybody to come on down. If you haven't been down to Atlanta lately, it's a wonderful place. And in July, it should be nice and warm. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I've heard that. And so tell me about the television.
Well, we've had quite a bit of success, a lot of interest in what animal communications is about, and a lot of local publicity going on about some of the animals that I've helped. And we're starting to see some shows pop up. We've got a show coming up, a regional show called Good Day Atlanta, and that's coming up July 17th. So we spend the day in the studio doing live readings and working with some of the animals there in the studio. We also have a show coming up on June 20th on the ION Network, and that's going to be a national broadcast. Those of you that aren't familiar with ION Network, the ION Network used to be the PAX Network, and so the whole network is focused on inspirational and motivational type of television shows and broadcasts and news reports. And I'm going to be appearing on the Araya McGeary Show, and Araya's show focuses on individuals and organizations that volunteer their time, volunteer their efforts, or put forth things to better the lives of humanity, as well as better the lives of animals. So one of the big things that I do, obviously, is not only with my animal communications business with Wagging Tails, where I give back a portion of all my proceeds to rescue organizations, but in addition, I'm the president of our local Humane Society of Forsyth County, Georgia, and that's a volunteer position. It's a no-kill shelter that I work with, and we do some great work there as well. So I'll be on the ION Network June 20th, and that's going to be a Friday morning. It's going to be 7 a.m. Eastern, so it's going to be really early for everybody on the West Coast, but that's why we have video recorders and DVRs and TiVos and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
and TiVo.
Exactly. I couldn't live without my TiVo. Because me getting up and watching myself at 7 a.m. may not even happen.
You're a busy man, then. You've got a lot of stuff going on.
There's
great.
a lot of stuff going on, and it's all geared towards obviously helping the animals out, helping the human companions, and bridging that communication gap and that relationship between you and your pets. And so it's exciting, and obviously I get to spend some more time with you and talking about our wonderful animals, especially our beautiful horses out there, and always love that opportunity.
Well, we have a caller on the line. You ready to take a call here?
I am ready, yes.
Okay, let's welcome her. Hello, Angela. You're on the air. Yeah,
hear
I hear you.
Can you hear me good?
You're okay.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Sounds like a commercial I've heard before. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
We're working on my headset. We tried it earlier, and it was so low you couldn't even hear me, so I'm trying a different route here. So I'm adjusting volume.
Well, you sound great, Angela. It's good to talk to you again. I got your wonderful pictures of Nikki and Jinx and your neighbor's white dog, which I didn't get the white dog's name.
Scooter.
Oh, Scooter, that's right, Scooter.
Yeah, she actually lives in New Jersey. She's a friend that I met on the internet, yeah. So she's a West Highland.
Beautiful. Well, you got some nice furry friends, and your friends have nice furry friends, so it works out real well.
Furry friends. So, Angela, who would you like to talk about first?
Oh, gosh, let's go on to Nikki then.
Okay.
Go on to the mayor.
All right. What do we need to know about Nikki today?
Okay. Well, I basically just want to know if everything is okay with her, if she's happy where I know she's probably not happy because I've got her on the dry lot, but if everything's working okay in her system because I'm having some issues medically with her.
Yeah, you're having some stomach issues with her?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm getting some sort of a burning sensation in my stomach as well. So is there some colic going on or some things going on within that?
No colic. She's not colicked, but
well, that's good.
I'm trying to prevent that.
Yeah. And what kind of medication do you have her on?
Right now I just have her on probiotics.
Okay. All right.
Because I can't really, you know, there's no other thing that I can do. She has an issue with grass belly. If I even put her in the pasture for more than a couple days, she just balloons up.
Yeah, and that's why you've got her on a dry lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's still there. I mean, I don't get the impression that she's in any danger right now. And obviously, I'm not a veterinarian, so obviously you want to consult a professional on these things as well. But, yeah, I do have a burning sensation in her stomach, so she's still having some issues. So you may want to continue to keep a close eye on that, keep the probiotics going on. Be careful of the grass that she does eat. Try to control the amount and the type, obviously. And you know how to take care of your baby. But you're spot on. So you're very well in tune with Nikki because she's not too thrilled about this dry lot, and she's wanting to know when she's going to go back to where she was before.
Exactly.
So did you have, yeah. So you may want to explain to her, if you haven't already, explain to her why she's there. And when
so
she'll be going back.
How do you do that?
So you go up to her, and you can either speak to her verbally like you and I are doing, mm-hmm. or you can get into quiet time with her. And so when we get into our quiet time, that's when we're able to hear and be better in tune with our animals. And that's when we can project from our minds to their minds what we want of them or what's going on with them. So it's like when you're sitting down, you're doing meditation or your prayer time or your quiet, whatever your quiet time is, you'll notice that you get yourself more centered and you're able to think clearer and a lot of great ideas pop in your mind. And if there are friends and family nearby, you're able to, hear in your mind some of the things going on with them. So you form a connection by having that quiet time. So with Nikki, it's the same thing. You go out with her either in person or you can do it remotely, and you're just getting yourself centered, you're getting yourself calmed down, you're getting into your meditation time or your quiet time, and you're thinking of Nikki. And you project to Nikki, thinking, Nikki, I love you. what is best for you. So the reason we have you on the dry lot is to make sure that you don't eat the wrong types of grass and eat too much of the grass. And so by doing this and having you on this dry lot, it's going to make you healthier, so you'll be with mommy a long time. Thus, you're going to be healthy, and you're going to make me happy. And that's why we're doing it. And if there's a certain time period that she's going to be there, maybe you're going to move her back or move her to a different location, you want to be telling her that as well.
So even if it's the end of summer after the first freeze, because that's my normal routine, when it, the nutrients in the grass that I put her out.
Exactly. So in that same, in that quiet time or in verbal time, that's the same thing you tell her. You say, Nikki, we're going to keep you on what we call, you know, the dry land, a dry lot. There's not going to be as much grass there. But that's to make sure you're healthy and you're not eating the bad grass or eating too much of the grass. And we're going to move you back to your favorite place, your favorite field in the fall. You can even say, you know, if it's the month of September, October, whatever it may be, say in September, and that's, you know, 3 months, 4 months away, 5 months away. I take my shoes off and start counting here how many months away that is. Exactly. So you figure out how many months it is, because they know the time, they know the dates, they know what's going on. So when we tell them it's 3 months away or 3 hours away, they know about this.
Okay.
And that's a big misconception that people have out there. They think, well, animals, they can't tell time. Well, they don't tell time like we do, where we sit there and stare at a clock. They can tell by just the sun, the vibration, the energy, the things that are going on in and around them and in their environment. So they know how long it is. And so you tell her why she's there, when she's going back, and why that's a good thing. Because it's going to make her healthy, going to make you happy, and she'll live a long life with you. And so if you explain these three parts to her, she'll be a little bit a little bit more receptive to it, though she's not too thrilled about it right now.
No, she kind of turns herself off.
She
goes away, like, whatever, I don't want to hear from you. Go away.
Exactly. Well, the first two things I picked up when I saw her picture was, you know, this sort of burning sensation in the stomach, mm-hmm. this irritation, and then her telling me, what am I doing here? That's what she said to me, what am I doing here? And I'm like, I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, well, it's a field. I think it's probably where you belong. So I'm glad you explained to me that. Yeah, that's why you have her.
That was in the winter, so she was actually in the pasture during that time.
Oh, was she? Okay, because the picture looks like it's very very barren, so I guess at that time of year it definitely would be.
Oh, maybe that was in the dry lot. Yeah, that was in the dry lot. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I've got so many pictures, you know how it goes.
Oh, that's okay. I love her little spots on her. In the picture, if anybody can see the picture online, it's she's a beautiful mare, but there's the way her fur in the wintertime sort of grows out, she actually gets these sort of spots and special markings on there, and it's really pretty.
She does. It's almost a dapple.
Yeah, very, very beautiful. So, she's
other than that burning sensation, though, there's really no other medical issues that I have to be worried about her?
I'm not feeling anything. How old is she now?
Okay. She's 9.
She's 9, okay. Yeah, I'm not feeling anything in there. Her joints feel pretty good. I'm not getting anything from the hip area. So a lot of times we when we work with horses, we obviously want to check all parts of their body, but, you know, the hoofs, the knees, the hips, those are the things that get a lot of wear on them, and so we want to make sure that they're well-maintained and we're getting the right nutrients in there. But she feels real
good.
It's flowing real good. Yeah, so I think we're in good shape.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Okay, well, that kind of confirmed then where I was going with how I was treating her.
Good. I think you're on the right track. Just make sure she understands why you're doing this.
Okay.
It's not some punishment.
Can I interrupt here with a question real quick?
Sure.
I'm just curious, you know, Angela's had some issues with the horse with wanting to do some lunging and stuff, and I wonder if that could be related to maybe whatever is going on.
Well, if there some lunging when she's being rode or just in general?
In general, lunging.
She's got, she does, you know, what she's showing me is there's some, obviously the irritation is going to make her irritable. And so she'll want to do some things that are not normal to her characteristic when that stomach area is flaring up. But she's also kind of confused, because she's confused about why she, even though it's the same routine you follow all the time, she's confused about what you're doing in that routine, because she likes the fit, she likes the other, yeah, she likes the other place much, much better. So I think if you do some more explaining to her about what's happening with her, what's going on, why you're doing the things you're doing, and you can do that on anything that changes within her routine or within her diet or what have you, keep her informed of what's going on. And when you do that, she's going to get more, have a better understanding of what's happening and be a lot calmer, and it'll probably deter some of this the lunging that she's having. Because we have to understand that you know, animals are just like we are. We want to know what's going on, and when we're unsure about what's happening within us or around us, we get antsy, we get irritable, we get upset. And it's the same thing with animals, and animals perhaps even more, because they're a lot, you know, they're sensitive. They're in tune with what's happening a lot more than we are. So when they have a great deal of puzzlement within what's happening, they tend to get react in a fashion that they normally don't react in.
Kind of, why are you doing this when we didn't really do this before?
Exactly. So you've changed my routine. You've never explained to me why. So, you know, it's like if you're a coffee drinker in the morning. If you're used to having the coffee pot ready every morning, and all of a sudden there's no coffee, you're wanting to know, what the heck is going on? Where's my coffee? What? Why has this changed? And I'm getting pretty... There you go. So we don't like our routines changed, and animals definitely don't like the routines changed. So I encourage everybody with their animals, whether we're talking horses, dogs, cats, bunnies, I don't care what the animal is, you keep them informed of what's going on. If there's going to be a change within themselves or around themselves, change in their routine, then you want to let them know what's happening. And it's the same thing with us. We would never, ever think of making major changes or making major changes within our lives without discussing it with the people that are part of our lives.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to take up too much of everybody, so let me move on to Jinx.
You're not taking up too much time, don't worry.
Okay. I know we've got other people that
Angela, before you do, we don't have any callers on the line, but I did want to ask Tim, I had some people that did send photos and stuff, but they're not here. Are you able to chat about animals if the owner isn't attending?
Yes, sure. Sure.
Oh, okay. So if we run out of topics, we could – there's a couple I'm real curious about. But go ahead, Angela. You can talk about Jinx, your dog, right?
Yes. Jinx is a 2-year-old blue heeler.
Mm-hmm.
Quite, I think he suffers from the canine version of ADHD. I want to know from him why he always seems to have to bite on my older dog.
Yeah. Well. First, let me ask you, what's Jinx's nickname?
We're talking out of the blue.
Out of the blue. So, what's Jinx's nickname? What do you call him?
Jinx.
That's it.
His real name is His real name is Hi Jinx.
Okay. Ah, well, there you go. That makes sense, because it's ironic when our animals name themselves, or we name our animals. A lot of times, they take on the personality of the name that they choose, or the name that we give them. And most of the time, the animal.
Hey, you.
Well, he said he was a real rascal, is what he called himself. So he.
I hear that one.
So he's a real rascal, and that's a blue heeler's way about going to things. Obviously, they're a high energy dog. They're a herding dog. They like to keep active all the time, and they like to keep things under control. And so, biting your older dog, he's doing that to sort of form control on what's happening. Now, your older dog may not be doing anything at the time, but he feels so he feels he still has to do this in order to sort of wake up the other dog, you know, mentally wake up the other dog and realize that he should be doing something, because Jinx is always doing something.
Mentally,
so
he's completely off the wall.
Yeah. So he's trying to actually, it's sort of a motivational technique that Jinx is using, because he wants the other dog and everybody around him to be doing something, because he feels he needs to be doing something all the time. So we can sort of curtail that within Jinx a little bit by, once again, explaining to him, you know, that we prefer him not to bite the other dog. It worries mommy. So if he would stop doing that, it would make you very happy. And you're explaining what you're wanting, what the job is you're wanting him to do. And by doing this, he gets a better understanding of what he should be doing. So we've talked about in the past that the animals come down to us, just like us humans, come down for a purpose, for a mission, and they're here to fulfill that mission. But also, they're here, while they're here in their embodied, they want to have jobs. And whether it's jobs that they assign themselves or whether it's jobs that you assign them, they want to know what their purpose is. They want to know what their job is, what they should be doing. And I'm not sure.
We do herd every week.
Perfect, perfect. Jinx needs to, you need to explain to Jinx that we don't have to herd all the time. And we don't have to herd the other dogs or the other animals around. That you'll let him know when it's time to herd. Because he's got the impression that he has to constantly be doing something. And if he's doing something, why in the heck isn't the other dog doing something?
And that's very true to his personality, too.
So just explain to him a little bit about what you really would want him to do and when you want him to do it. And I think he'll have a better understanding.
The other question I have is in herding, how can I connect with him more when we are in training? Because I'm green at herding myself, and so is he. He's only 2 years old. So we're kind of learning this together, and sometimes he completely blocks me out and says, I don't want to do this no more, or I'm not going to listen to you. How can we make that connection in training itself?
Okay, so you make the training as a not something that he wants to do, or you make it something that he wants to do. So you want to tell him why you're doing it. Make sure he fully understands why you're doing it, because a lot of times us humans will do things, especially on a repetitive nature, that animals can't really understand why we're doing it. It's sort of like if you go out for a jog and you're jogging around the same block, or you're walking the dog around the same block all the time. After a while, the dog loses interest because why are we doing this? We've already crossed this path before. We've already been walking the same.
It's not really that he's losing interest. He just decides he knows how to do this better than I do, so he's backed me completely out of the picture.
Ah,
I
got you.
He's going to herd himself, that kind of thing.
I got you. Well, then, once again, it comes down to this explaining to him the proper method of doing it and that you're in control, so you've got to gain control of it and not let him take over. So he'll feel he knows how to do it and do it probably better than you do, and you just need to reestablish that you are the alpha of the group, not him. So that's when you set him down and you talk to him about it. And you don't have to get stern with him. You don't have to get lay hands on him or anything. You just simply sit down and talk to him about why you're doing it this way, and he needs to follow. So it's all that communication. It's all sitting down and making sure they understand what's going on. And it's a lot like, people ask me this. They say, well, Tim, it sounds like, it's like when I talk to my child. Well, yeah, it is. It's a lot like that.
Uh-huh.
Because you're trying to teach your child and what to do and how things are and the way things work in the world and in your home. Well, it's the same thing with your animals. They've got to have a better understanding of that as well.
Now, do dogs then have the same type of mindset when it comes to changing behaviors? Now, since the last program that we talked, and stuff, I've been trying to do that when I go to leave the house, because I remember I was telling you that he whined and barked a lot.
Right.
He had to go with me every time. I've been trying to do that, and it seemed like it never worked. Is he not understanding what I'm trying to tell him, or am I not communicating it properly?
Well, you need to be consistent with your communication, so you need to do it all the time, not sometimes. And you need to make sure that he knows that this is the way it is. And by him whining or complaining about it, it's not going to change anything. So when it's time for him to go on the trip with you, you'll let him know. And when it's time for him to stay there, you will let him know. And so that's what we're working with within Jinx. And it's the same thing with his herding capability. Jinx likes to take control. He likes to take control of the situation. He tries to force his alpha characteristics on the whole family. And so we just got to get him, consistently keep him focused on what you're wanting and what you're expecting out of him. And so you just got to continue to be consistent. He's going to be a little bit, stubborn, and he'll forget sometimes, and he'll try to test the waters every once in a while. But it's something you're just going to. So something you're just really going to have to be consistent with Jinx all the time on.
Okay. Okay, so there's, but, you know, that was my main concern about him, you know, biting at my older dog, you know, because he is 11 years old, you know, he's getting up in there in years, and so I was just concerned because he likes to nip at the legs, he likes to grab him by the ear and hold on, or out of the blue, he'll just get up and walk over when he's sleeping and just nail him. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here.
Yeah, he really wants, he just thinks he has to be on the move all the time, so we just need to let him know that.
Canine ADHD.
Yeah, well, he really likes to stay active. He doesn't understand why others aren't as active as he is, and he really tries to control the situation. And by biting the other dog, that's the things he's trying to establish.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So, is there anything that she can do after the fact? Is it too late? I mean, if she catches him biting on the other dog.
Yeah, you sit him down and explain to him why that's not proper. So it's
just
no
like
different than
out.
Just like
yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Put him in a little timeout and they'll understand. I mean, I have two schnauzers, and the one Woody is the alpha, and every once in a while he gets, you know, strong headed, we'll say, and he'll sort of forget his boundaries. So we have about an acre, well, a little less than an acre garden out back. It's a southern walking garden. It's a beautiful place and very serene. But that area the dogs are not allowed in because we don't want them chasing the squirrels and the other animals in there. So we have trained him and his brother Buzz to not go into that area. And 99% of the time they go right to the area, but they won't go any further. But lately, he's been like getting a paw in, and maybe two paws in, you know. And I tell him no, you know, training. That's our code word for you're crossing the boundary, training. And he sort of like, you know, has selective hearing. Like, I didn't really hear Dad say that, so he pushes it a little bit. So I actually had to send him down. Yes. So I had to send him down a couple of days ago and just have it. Face to face, I just explained to him that, you know, that's not what we want to do. We've been trained on this, and I can't have you in the garden because if you get in the garden, you're going to hurt the other animals, you're going to scare the other animals, you're going to step all over the garden, and that'll make us very unhappy. So what I need you to do is you can go up to the garden, but don't cross over into the garden. And by doing this, this is going to make me very happy, and thus it's going to make you very happy. And so we did this 2 days ago, and I haven't had any problems yet. So knock on wood, and it wasn't one of these stern talking to, and it wasn't getting the, as my dad would say, the old hickory switch out. It was just sitting down and talking to him and telling him that, wait a minute, I know you may have forgot, or maybe you're pushing the limits a little bit, but either way, that's not what we've been trained on. It's not acceptable, and here's why we need to go back to the way we used to do things, which is staying out of the garden because we don't want you hurting other animals, and this is going to make me happy, and it's going to make you happy. And so that's exactly how we have to do it.
That's hilarious. That's just hilarious. We do that with the kitchen and the living room, yeah. One paw, there you go.
Exactly. And they'll try to push the limits. It's not that they mean to. It's just, you know, they're curious by nature, or something will catch their eye, or they'll say, I haven't been in this room for a while, so maybe I'll just check it out one time, and you know, and I'll pretend like I don't hear them.
When we're in the kitchen eating, the dog's not allowed in the kitchen, period. So, yeah, we'll get one little paw, and I'm pretty sure the next paw will come. get back, and they jump back.
Exactly. It's like, oh, yeah, I just sort of forgot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We know.
They really are like kids.
They are. And
they are. Yeah.
They are, and you know, you have to, it's a learning process, and it's things you have to teach them on how you want things done, and it's the same thing you do with your children.
Well, we're going to take a real short break here because somebody is emailing me a picture of their dog, and I want to make sure you get it, Tim.
Okay, great.
So we'll take a quick break, and Angela, stay on the line because I know you have one more that you want to talk about. Okay, so hang on the line, folks, for just a little bit.
We're just going to sit here and be quiet?
Hello?
Hi, folks. I'd like to take just a minute to invite you to join our online community, similar to Facebook or MySpace. We have a wealth of information for horse lovers everywhere, something for everyone. I'll post the link in the chat room for you. Come check it out. And check out our natural products on simplynhn.com and naturalhorsenetwork.com. And thanks for listening today. Okay, I'm back. Tim, I emailed you a photo that someone sent me, so let me know if you're able to check that.
Okay, yeah. We'll pull it right up here.
We have another caller on the line. Just hold the line and we'll get to you in just a few minutes here. Angela, you want to talk about your friend's dog, or are you done with Jinx?
Yeah, I'm done with Jinx. Let me just add a couple questions she sent me. It's about Scooter's barking at everyone. She wants to know how she can get her to stop barking at everyone. She doesn't believe it's an aggressive bark, but how can she get through to her that, you know, it's okay to bark if they come in the yard, but not when they're just walking past, as well as is she happy where she's at?
All right, so we got Scooter, oh, beautiful little girl, West Highland Terrier, and just a beautiful little love muffin, as I'll call her. But so what we're talking about, a lot of times when dogs will bark at the people that are not only coming to their yards but also passing by, they're actually doing a form of what we call a pattern protection or a home protection. Now, these people that are walking past the house or around the area may not have any intention of coming into the yard or doing anything with the family or with the house, but they're establishing their dominance, saying, this is my area, this is my home, this is my yard. And so anything that is near it, I'm going to bark at to make sure that they know that this is the parameter that they need to stay out of. So it's sort of like going back to my Buzz and Woody about the garden. You know, I'm saying the parameter that they can't get into the garden. The dog is actually saying the parameter that people shouldn't be in the anywhere near the vicinity of their house. So to get around that, what we have to do is make sure that the dog understands what is acceptable, when you want them to bark and when you don't want them to bark. So one of the techniques that I sort of implement is if someone is outside the house and the dog starts barking, I acknowledge what is going on. We say, yes, I see the neighbor next door. Thank you so much for letting me know the neighbor's there. You're a good dog. Thank you so much. And you leave it at that and see if the dog stops barking. If the dog doesn't stop barking, you acknowledge it once again. You say, thank you again for letting me know someone's out there. I see them. I'm going to close the blind so you don't have to worry about them anymore. And by doing this, you're actually acknowledging them and saying, thank you for doing your job, because you've chosen the job of protecting the area, protecting the house, protecting the yard. And I'm acknowledging you and saying, thank you very much for doing your job, and now please stop doing that.
So is her bark then a playful bark, though, or is it a truly just or kind of a bluff? This is my yard.
Yeah, it's what I call a protection bark. In her mindset, anything that has not been properly introduced to her home by her human companions or around her home, then she has to notify her family that this is happening. So even if somebody's walking down the sidewalk or walking down the road and she sees them, she feels her job is to let the family know that, hey, there's somebody out there. And so the family needs to say, thank you very much. You did a great job. Thanks for letting me know. I see them. I acknowledge that they're out there. Thank you very much. Now let's go ahead and lay down. And so you acknowledge it. And typically if you get in this pattern of the same routine, don't try to change their job because they feel this is part of what they are bringing to the table, what they're supposed to be doing. But you're actually telling them that, hey, I acknowledge what you're doing. I appreciate you doing such a fantastic job. Now, you know, you don't need to bark anymore. And you get in that routine. And if you have some blinds or some shades and they continue to bark, then you thank them once again for what's happening. Thank them again for letting you know what's going on outside the house and tell them we're now going to close the blinds so you don't have to worry about that anymore. And then they can go back 5 minutes later and open up the blinds if they want to.
I see. And she also wants to know, well, is she happy and content home.
Yeah, she seems to be. She keeps showing me another pet. So I'm wondering, has there been another pet? Is there another dog there? Or has there been a discussion about another dog? Or is there one that's transitioned?
I don't know that, but I know that she's the only pet in the house.
Okay. Because she keeps showing me another dog that's similar in size and form to her. And so I'd be curious to find out if they're thinking about getting another dog, or more than that, I'm getting the impression that there was another dog similar to her in the past. I don't know if it was a playmate or a litter mate, or whether it's a dog that your friend had, that has transitioned on. But I'm getting another dog, and she seems okay with it. She's actually okay with that other dog. So if it is one that has transitioned, then that's fine. That dog still reappears from time to time. And I'm just getting a strong impression. I see another dog that's the energy's coming from that area. But other than that, she seems to be pretty happy. She likes being the center of attention, that's for sure.
And her diet's good and everything. And
yeah, she feels real.
With that.
Yeah, she feels real good. I'd be careful as we continue, as she continues to, she's not an old dog by any means, but as she continues her going through her older stages, you want to make sure that we're keeping a close eye on the allergies, especially some eye allergies that are prone in this type of breed. And I see a little bit of that happening from time to time. But other than that, she feels pretty good. I don't feel any other blockages. I don't feel anything else that is negative within her. And keep in mind, when we talk about allergies, we can talk about environmental allergies, such as grass, pollen, dust mites, those type of things if it's an indoor dog, but also nutrition. Because as our bodies change, we can't eat the same things that we used to do. So we have to be more careful about what we're eating as we continue to age. So we can't eat Twinkies and Doritos as often as we used to. It's not fair, but we just can't do it.
Okay, well
that's
can
good.
We? Are we ready to take another call?
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Angela, hold tight, because, we'll have time
I'm
to...
I'm going to mute my mic.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to mute my mic so you can't hear
okay.
me.
Okay.
Caller 815, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, did you get my picture of my Jack Russell Terrier?
Yes, I see him. Thanks for sending it over. So is it Sabu's?
Yes, Sabu.
Sabu. Wow, what a great name. How did he choose that name?
That's a she. That's from my favorite movie, Out of Africa.
Oh, cute.
They called her Sabu. She was the master, and this dog is the master of my heart.
Aw. Well, she's a sweetie.
She has big issues with other dogs, and I was wondering if you could tell me what she's thinking.
Yeah, big dogs especially.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got, she showed me she doesn't really care for big dogs. Is she around big dogs often, or is it sort of an infrequent thing?
Yeah, I've tried all kinds of things. It's really hard with a terrier with training. It's when we're walking or when I try to kennel her. Anytime she sees another dog, especially a big dog, she just goes insane. And when she was little, she was attacked by a big dog. So.
Okay.
It's like a fear aggression thing, and I just can't get over it with her.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, especially with smaller breed dogs, they have what we call a big dog syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So they're small dogs, but they think they're big dogs. And so, yes, and so when they're near big dogs, they have to put up even a bigger front, because they want to show that, hey, I'm as big as you, even though I'm not as big in stature. Mm-hmm. I'm a big dog like you. And so it's a part of their normal pattern with small dogs. They have this sort of big dog syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's hard to get around, and it's hard to make a change. And the only way you can sort of get around that is have her spend more time with big dogs.
But she starts fights.
Well, one of the things you can do is I don't know if you have, do you walk her on a leash a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any dog parks in your area, chained, you know, area where you take, there are centralized parks for dogs?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. So that won't work. One of the things that you can do is there any big dogs in your neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. There's a Burmese mountain dog around the corner, and she lunges for his neck every time.
Okay. Is there a fence that can be separated between the two?
No.
No? Okay. Well, we're trying to narrow this down. Because a lot of times what will happen is in a training practice is you can actually take your smaller dog on a leash. If there is a fence between the bigger dog and the larger dog, or your dog, then you can bring your dog up to the fence. She'll bark her head off. She'll act aggressive. Mm-hmm. But if you do this on a frequent basis, she'll start to know that, hey, this isn't such a bad thing. This dog's not going to attack me. He's not going to bother my mommy. This is going to be okay. And start working through some of that fear and some of that big dog aggression type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a method of getting her used to bigger dogs, whether it's seeing them, don't let them have playtime right away, and don't take her off leash right away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can introduce her more to big dogs, and so she knows that, hey, these, I don't have to put up a front, I don't have to be worried, I don't have to worry about this dog biting me, that it's okay, then you'll be able to get through some of this. But
okay.
It's all in that socialization. And as, unfortunately, as they get older, it's a little bit harder to socialize them and get them used to something that they've not been used to in the past.
Okay. Do you see any health issues with her?
What is she, how's her appetite been lately?
She eats a lot.
Okay. That's a good thing. And what are you feeding her?
I mix the science diet WD-K9 with pumpkin, because she has like digestive problems, and she has food allergies to rice and lamb.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what we're picking up, and that's good that you've identified that, because a lot of times they'll, as I talked a little bit earlier, the allergies can be environmental as well as food, and a lot of times we don't pick up on the food problems.
Mm-hmm.
So the WD is an excellent way. It's a weight management, but it's also got a lot of the proteins dehydrated out of it or processed out of it, so it helps with the allergies that they may have. Now, the pumpkin itself, I was curious about the pumpkin. Is it does her allergies sometimes cause her to have diarrhea, or is it?
No, it was mostly skin irritation. She would, you know, bite her paws, and she'll lick a raw spot.
Okay.
The pumpkin, the vet had me add in because she has problems with constipation sometimes.
Okay, and he's giving you the pumpkin so it'll
mm-hmm.
move it through. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think it's a great solution, obviously. And I'm not a veterinarian, but as we go through this and as I learn more about it and I'm around this all the time, how we feed our dogs is very important to us. And our pumpkin is a great way to counteract some of that constipation issue. You just want to make sure that is not a large amount, and it's also something you don't necessarily have to do on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So it's sort of like some of the things that we do. Sometimes we have to take, you know, laxatives or something to get us regular, and then
mm-hmm.
after we've gotten to that point, then we let the body handle the rest of it itself, and we don't have to take it anymore. So it's the same thing with when we talk about pumpkin or some of the other things. But it doesn't hurt her, so that's a very good thing. The skin allergies, I was curious, have you gotten her, when you did the testing to find out what she was allergic to food-wise, did it come back with any test results on other allergens like
oak?
Oak, okay. And what about grass? Was there any Bermuda or any?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why she licks her paws.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the allergies. And I've got, like I mentioned, my schnauzers. I get terrible food allergies.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got one particular schnauzer by the name of Buzz, and he's allergic to Bermuda grass. And so during the pollen season and while the grass is growing in particular, he loves to lick his paws because they're itching, they're tingling.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll just lick them and lick them and lick them. And so what we do to counteract that is if she's outside a lot, and when she comes back inside, take a cold, wet, damp washcloth.
Yeah,
and just wipe
wash the feet, yeah.
Ah, you're perfect. You're doing all the great things. So that's what you should do. You take, you know, the cold wet washcloth and you wash their paws and you wash in between their little pads and you wipe their arms or any other of the skirt area that, you know, tends to rub against the ground, mm-hmm. and you just wipe that pollen off. So you're doing all the great things. She's just going to continue. You know, it's one of those things you got on it early, which is fantastic. You've identified what she's allergic to from a food base. You've identified what she's allergic to from a environmental standpoint. So that's perfect. Just keep doing those things that you've been doing. I think you're going to be in great shape. But the aggression towards other dogs, especially larger dogs, it is a socialization thing, and it's something that you can talk to her about it, and you can tell her that you would like to have her be near other dogs and be near the other bigger dogs, but you understand and you can you understand why she doesn't want to, and you can appreciate that. And you explain that to her. But if you want to try to get her closer to some of the other dogs and sort of socialize her more, then I'd encourage you to do that, but do it in baby steps.
Okay.
You know, don't introduce her all at one time.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
This has been wonderful. I love the show.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tim, I was going to say, don't you think sometimes these dogs, though, pick up on maybe their owners being nervous? I mean, if you anticipate that your dog's going to react a certain way, maybe you tense up and then the dog reacts.
Oh, that's a big part of it. And you know this with working with the horses especially, who are very sensitive.
Yeah.
And that's a story. I mean, that's everything in general. We've got to be centered. We've got to feel good about ourselves. We can't worry. We can't throw negativity out there. And if you're staying positive and you're not worrying about things, then the animals around you are not going to pick up any worry or negativity. But you're absolutely right. If she's thinking, oh, dear, here comes another dog, my dog's going to go crazy, guess what? The dog's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
But if you make less of a ordeal out of it and you don't worry about it, then the dog's going to be a little bit more comfortable around it. And it's an easier thing to say than do, but but it is something that we have to do. So whatever you're projecting, the animal's picking up. So if you're projecting positive things, they're going to pick that up. If you're projecting worry and negative things, they're going to pick that up as well.
Absolutely.
And, so it's very spot on.
So let's talk about Scotty, the horse. I know she was supposed to call in and maybe she had to work or something. I know a lot of people have to work. And I sent you the picture of Scotty.
Yeah.
You recall? And all I know is that she did have a recent, what we call a life session done, and found some issues with Scotty, you know, with hips and some things going on, but she mentioned that she felt there was a past trauma, and that was her question, was could you tell what that past trauma was that the horse is holding on to?
Yeah, the thing I was curious is, I'm picking up a previous owner, so I'm assuming this horse was owned by someone else before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, horse...
Yeah, I wish I had more background.
Okay, so I'd be curious about that. So what I am picking up, and hopefully this is helpful, I'm picking up there was a past owner, and the past owner, unfortunately, the techniques, training techniques that the past owner used was a little bit too forceful for the horse, for Scotty. And Scotty's worrying about, still holding on to that from the past. And so one of the things we want to do is I would suggest to her, to have a talk with Scotty. I'm a big talker, as you can imagine. But have a talk with Scotty and say, hey, look, whatever's happened in the past, I understand, but I need you to sort of let go of that, not worry about what's in the past, because now you're at your forever home, and we love you very much, and we're not going to treat you the same way that they treated you. We're going to treat you with respect and honor, and we're going to work with you and get you healthy and have you here for a long time. And so if you need anything from us, let us know. So you work with that. You work with that visualization, that consoling voice, that quiet time with the horse, and getting them to realize that whatever's happened in the past is the past. We need to let go of that so we can enjoy where we're at today and where we're going. And so you really just have to console her. And I think with Scotty, you also want to, when we're talking about the health problems, the joint problems, the hip problems, You know, obviously, take the advice of your local veterinarian, have them check Scotty out, make sure that what the issues are. But obviously, if you implement some, there's a lot of great holistic remedies out there. There's a lot of great supplements. We talked about. I saw they have an upcoming show about flower essences.
So I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. There's some wonderful flower essences out there that work as a calming mechanism as well as help out with some of the physical problems as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start talking about things like Star Bethlehem, which is a great flower essence, which is a calming mechanism, that's something that can be introduced into the diet of Scotty. So check out some flower essences, check out the next show, and learn more about that, because that's some things, if you're worrying about Scotty's past emotional or physical traumas, that's some of the ways we can go about doing it in a pure homeopathic method without introducing drugs into the horse's system.
Exactly, and they can benefit dogs, too.
Oh, yeah, any animals and humans.
Mm-hmm.
There's some wonderful flower essences out there by... there's just a ton of them out there, but by Bach. Bach makes an excellent line that's easy to get access to. There's a wonderful company down here in Conyers, Georgia, that I recommend called Newton Homeopathics. And if you go to my website, which is wagging-tales.com, there's a couple of links in there in my helpful hints section to
great.
Bach. Yeah, so I've got a link there to Bach, a link to Newton Homeopathics, and there's some other ones out there that are great, but those two have some wonderful remedies for humans as well as animals, and so it's a perfect route to go to get through some of that emotional and physical trauma that Scotty has had in the past.
Wow, very good. She'll be glad to hear this. Real quick, I wanted to bring up, yesterday we had a tornado here in Colorado. In fact, it was very close to me. It was pretty traumatic because we're not used to ones that are that large. And I heard the sirens, and I didn't even know what they meant. I was like, what the heck is going on? I was more concerned with the hail, which was like golf ball size, and getting my chickens and rabbits safe, and they weren't cooperating. Probably because they knew I was acting crazy.
Right.
But many, many animals were lost just north of here in Windsor. Many people lost their homes and came home from work and found their animals missing. And I just wanted to ask you, is there anything, any tips or any advice you could give people that what could they do as far as their animals? Obviously, they'll go to shelters, but... is there any way they can communicate telepathically to their animals, you know, come home, anything like that, that you could advise?
Well, obviously, we want to, when an animal gets scared off, has gone through trauma, has run away, those type of things, we want to project out to our pets that it's okay now. It's okay. You don't have to be worried that tornado's gone, that bad weather's gone, you can feel safe to come back home, I'll be here for you, I'll be here to protect you. And so when we talk about this, how do we do that, Tim? How do we talk telepathically? How do I project that? Well, it's as simple, once again, as getting into that quiet time, getting into whatever gets you centered and calmed down. So when you're in a calm and centered place, then you can start projecting this out. And it's not a projection of fear. It's not a projection of, a thought of, my poor dog's lost. It's a projection of, I'm calm, everything's fine, everything around me is calm. So now it's safe for you to come back home. So you're talking telepathically. So if your dog, dog, cat, horse, whatever it may be, and they happen to run off and is fearful to come back, you're just projecting out. You're just thinking positive thoughts. You're thinking positively that, it's okay, everything's fine now, the storm's gone, it's safe to come back home, I'll be here waiting for you, I'll have your favorite food ready for you, I'll have your favorite toy ready for you, everything's fine and safe, and you're projecting that positive, calming thoughts, and you're focusing and you're picturing your animal, and you're picturing him or her coming home safely, surrounding your animal with that white light of love and protection, and just envisioning that the animal's going to be coming back, and you're constantly projecting that. So from a telepathic standpoint, that's what you want to do. That's how you form your connection with your animal. Now, there are things, as you had mentioned, that you want to also do proactively, such as get a hold of, if you have a lost dog or cat, we'll say, get a hold of your local county shelter as well as your local rescue groups in the area. Spread it out to maybe, a 50 or 60 mile radius. Just contact them, let them know, fax them or email them a picture saying that this, you know, if my dog comes into your facility or you find them, let me know. If there's any identification markers on your animal, whether it's a collar, a tag, a microchip, which is very common nowadays, which is every veterinarian and every shelter out there knows to scan the animals to make sure that who they belong to by using this microchip. Give them all the information you possibly can. There is also a wonderful website by the name of petfinder.com.
Oh, right. Good point.
And petfinder.com is a national database of local county shelters as well as other rescue groups. You can go on there and find animals as well as post your animal on a courtesy posting if your animal is lost. So go on to petfinder.com. You can go and do a search by a particular type of shelter, particular breed of animal, particular sex of an animal, zip code, mile radius around that zip code. There's a lot of different search mechanisms within PetFinder, but it's a great place to keep an eye on because the animal may turn up in somebody else's hands.
Which probably a lot of them will.
Yes, they will. So also I would encourage people, if it's a domestic animal like a dog or a cat, go to my website once again, which is www.wagging-tales.com. And there's a section in there talking about lost pets, and it's under the helpful hints section again. And there's some things in there about how to go about finding your dog or cat, how to get them back home, what groups you should contact, as well as some ways to do some trapping of the animal in a humane trap. So there's some things like that. And then obviously if I can help out in any way, just take a look at my site. I do a lot of private consultations. I do a lot with lost animals. We've had some great success stories. We helped a cat get back home a couple of days ago and here in the Atlanta area, as well as I helped a cat after 3 weeks get back home that was in the Bronx, New York. So,
my goodness.
So we've had some luck with that. I do quite a bit of work with lost animals as well.
That's great. I think this is very helpful. Because I know if it were me, it would be difficult to still that noise in my head and, you know, be calm. I would be so, you know, that nervousness takes over, and that's what you have to do is let that go and just, like you said, picture the white light and get in that quiet place and have a little chat with your animal.
That's right.
And I think that would really help.
It definitely will help, and it'll make you feel a lot better, too.
Yes, absolutely. So, anybody have any more questions? Angela, you still there?
Yes,
we lost
Ian.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, I'm here. The connection got reset.
What'd you say?
My connection got reset.
Oh, well, you're back. That's all that matters.
We have another quick plug here. I appreciate you putting the information on your website. I did have an announcement that came out, I believe, a couple weeks ago. Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is the one of the largest newspapers in the country. It's based here in Atlanta, obviously. They have pulled together a panel of experts, which are eight experts in their field. These experts are anything from holistic veterinarians to animal behaviorists to cat specialists, dog specialists, homeopathic remedies, so on and so forth. And they have this wonderful little guy on there called Tim Link, who's an animal communicator.
I saw that. I think that's so great. I'm glad you brought this up.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the nice thing about the yeah, and you don't have to be in Atlanta to enjoy it. You can send in your questions from anywhere. You can go to ajcpets.com, and there's a tab on there. You click for a panel of experts, and you can select any of the panel of experts. I encourage you to select the animal communicator. And you can ask questions of there from there, and then I can respond back to you, and it also gets posted online for other people to learn from as well. So it's a great little thing. I'm honored about being one of the 8 chosen experts, and so that's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, I think. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
That's great.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you taking your time to be with us today. I think
you've
helped a lot of pets and people.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I appreciate it. I love talking to you guys and talking to your callers and people listening in. So, you know, I'd encourage you just to go ahead and you know, check out my website. Obviously, listen to this show on a regular basis, and maybe we can do it again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have to do it again.
I want to actually contact you for an in-depth reading on Nikki. So.
That sounds great. I appreciate it.
Okay, Tim.
I don't want to just use up your time for free.
No, that's fine. I'm obviously one to help as many people as I possibly can to help their beautiful animals,
and
that's
what
it's all about.
It is great. It is great.
But I've got a lot of in-depth questions that probably wouldn't be appropriate to be on the air for.
Well, that's great. We'll do it again sometime.
You never know what will come up, yeah.
Well, you never know, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help out, and so if I can do that, I'll be glad to do it.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, wonderful. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, and congrats.